Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Thiebel. Joining me in the studio today is Stephen Fan.
Absolutely.
And we got a good show for you. We're going to start off with a story about a food security program in northern BC, courtesy of our friends at CICK Radio in Smithers. And we have our Gardening with Embark segment. It's practically midsummer, and lots is happening in the garden. And Stephen is here with some art features.
Absolutely. So, in the absence, there's been actually three shows I want to talk about. The first thing is Wiki Chow, who's actually a Vancouver-born kind of pianist superstar, kind of like in a mix of modern and classical. I spoke with her, and she actually had a couple performances here in Vancouver as well. The second thing is the reopening of the Museum of Anthropology in UBC, and I was able to speak with one of the directors organizing the reopening, as well as one of the feature exhibitions. And the third thing is kind of a really unique artistic performance by a local professional singer called Luca Cavabada, and it kind of touches on his both sort of Swedish and Japanese heritage. It's a really cool show called Half Food Project, and yeah, I'm happy to talk about all three.
Excellent. Well, it's a full agenda for today. Let's get going with the program, though. So this is a feature from our friends at CICK Radio in Smithers, British Columbia, in northern BC, about a special food security program there.
Today on CICK News, I am speaking to Christine Bruce, the Food Security Coordinator at the Smithers Community Services Association, about a new program called Everybody Eats. The aim of this program is to create healthier options for those who use food programs to feed themselves and their families. Christine has built a system with three prongs to connect eaters with local growers, which she will explain in our interview as we sat down during last week's farmers market. Everybody Eats will launch publicly at the Bulkley Valley Farmers Market on Saturday, June 15th, and Christine is buzzing with excitement to introduce everybody to this new approach to food security.
So we're here to talk about Everybody Eats. This is a program you've told me a little bit about, but I would love to learn a lot more. So tell me, first off, what is Everybody Eats?
The quick definition of this brand new initiative is a response to the outdated thinking of how charity works. I feel like we're always battling things like bureaucracy and old ways of thinking like nepotism and racism, and Everybody Eats is my attempt to break through some of that and to see that everybody gets access to local fresh food. Mm-hmm. I want people to have agency over their food choices. I want to connect people with food on a deeper level, like where did it come from and how do you prepare it and how do you process it for later use. And then there are the larger considerations like what relationships can we build around food? In a nutshell, Everybody Eats is my attempt through the Smithers Community Services Association to connect more people with local fresh food.
Mm-hmm. How did Everybody Eats, how did all of this begin?
So it all started, if you can believe it, with a box of Captain Crunch cereal. Those processed foods are full of either sugar or salt, and they're not a healthy breakfast option, but I was given a box in a Christmas food hamper through the SCSA a couple of years ago. And when I mentioned to friends and colleagues that this wasn't a good option for feeding people, they made me feel ungrateful. I recognize that these programs are run by well-intended, kind people. But like I said before, the model is outdated. The charitable philosophy of feeding people shouldn't be it's better than nothing. There's no power involved when you give people agency over their food choices. And I want to give people, like eaters, their power back when you offer them the option of local and fresh. In the winter, a series of meetings between me and the new executive director of the community services, Myung Lee, resulted in their inviting me to launch a new position, the food security coordinator, which we've never had here before. Mm-hmm. And I've been hired to manage and make improvements to three programs. Extend the Christmas Hamper program with a long-term goal of offering hampers all year and to move away from the processed food that has been the staple of that program. And now, I understand some people love the processed food part, but processed foods have been studied and proven to be unhealthy in anyone's diet. So we'll still offer it, but with a supplement of local and fresh. So people will have options now. And then the next program is managing the BCAFM, the Association of Farmers Markets, their coupons program, and ensure that everybody can eat. Because as it operates right now, it's really restrictive, so only pregnant people or families with small children or seniors can get access to this. And the working poor are left out of that.
Yep.
And then I want to ensure that seniors in the Better at Home program get access to more fresh and local food through a hot meals program. So those are the three programs that they really want me to work on. So we need to step back a little bit for a minute. Our current systems are set up in a siloed structure, always competing. We have this long history of people being pitted against each other. And in the movie 500 Days in the Wild, Diane Whelan commented, "We used to live in a society, but now we live in an economy." And that really resonated with me. It encapsulates the big hole that I see in a lot of these programs. We're not feeding everyone, and it's set up under an outdated charity model. And the system is based on colonial and capitalist models, and it's deeply divided. And I can see why my three programs have been set up the way they have and why they have restrictions on who can eat and what they can have. And the people who managed them before me were doing their best. And the other thing is, we have to remember, is people don't like change. It might be a broken system, but it's comfortable, right? So our new SCSA mission statement insists on making change, to be more inclusive, more equitable, to give people agency over their food choices. And I've been tasked with building partnerships and to collaborate. So my first goal, as I said before, is to change attitudes, particularly around charity. Charity began as a band-aid solution to a growing problem of people in need, and that band-aid solution has become a big money industry. And yet the people who need help are becoming destitute, and there's more of them. They're becoming less healthy. And the only people who really benefit from us giving a box of processed cereal to the needy are big industry, not the people we're giving it to. So it's not working, and it was never meant as a permanent solution. And one last thing I would like to say is that right now has been described as a time of unraveling, which is scary, but it also opens up opportunities. And that's where programs like Everybody Eats come in.
Nuts and bolts. Can you tell me how this will actually work and how people can who will need to access this service, how this is going to work for them?
Okay. So in the early manifestation, Everybody Eats is going to be a booth at the BB Farmers Market beginning June 15th. Two of my three programs will be immediately impacted there. I'm going to share information on the coupons program and give tours of the market to anyone who wants one. I'm not going to be distributing coupons. You have to go through a service like SCSA programs or Pregnancy Outreach or the Friendship Center to get coupons. But I will be at the market to help you use the coupons to understand how it works if you get confused.
Okay.
And there are also people who have anxiety about coming to the market and they're afraid of stigma. I'm going to be here.
Sure.
Come and see me.
Can I actually just pause you there? So if someone's going through a service like the SCSA, how are they connecting with them?
You just walk into the office and connect.
And let them know that you need to, that you want to access the food coupon program.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Now, one of the problems that we're having right now is we didn't get enough coupons this year, so we're already turning people away.
Okay.
So the next thing I want to implement is a waiting list, because I've already got permission from a couple of organizations, including the SCSA and the BCAFM, to start a sponsorships program where I'm going to start approaching businesses and say, hey, the working poor aren't being covered in this program. Yeah. Would you be willing to sponsor some more coupons? And then the Batman's already told me that I can give the coupons to anybody if I'm doing it that way.
Yeah.
So we can include everybody that way,
yeah.
Which is neat. And it also means that I'm building partnerships between farmers and eaters, right? Which is neat.
It's not only neat, it's necessary.
Like I said, we don't like change, right? It's comfortable, right? And a lot of people will say to you, we've never done it that way before. So I think we've had the imagination just kicked out of us.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people that's, hell no, let's go try something different here.
Yeah.
So remember that box of cereal I started with? What if people could have eggs and a piece of toast for breakfast instead? What if you could get a bowl of Hascap berries? These are all things that are available at the farmer's market. You can get that for breakfast. You don't need to rely on Captain Crunch. And you might purchase them with the coupons program, or you might redeem a love note for them. And we can talk about that later. But with Everybody Eats, we'll try to find ways to give people access to food and agency over their food choices.
Yeah.
And those are the sorts of things that I'm really excited about. All right, let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. I said two of my programs. The other one that's going to be impacted immediately is the hamper program.
Yes.
Right now, we only give out Christmas hampers once a year. But bear with me, because I got to tell you some backstory first, and then we'll get to it. So my plan is to draw in any and all market goers, like you and me, anybody, to engage with food through things like this thing that I mentioned, the Love Notes Project, which is a pay it forward element where anyone can buy anything at the market from a participating vendor, and then they leave the receipt for that item at my booth for anyone else in need to redeem.
And just to pause you there, that's called the Love Notes Program.
Here's one of the holes I want to plug. I might personally buy a loaf of bread or a cup of coffee or some preserves, things that are not currently allowed with the coupons program. You can't get those things. You can buy anything offered at the market, but as an example, let's say I buy that loaf of bread and I bring the receipt to the Everybody Eats table. Now, maybe you haven't enough money to buy yourself a loaf of bread, but you can collect that receipt, take it back to Mama Jay's table, and redeem it for your loaf of bread that I bought.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's how the pay it forward system works.
Yeah.
And collaboration in feeding someone and filling a gap. One of the vendors wants to regularly donate vegetables to the Love Notes Project. And here's where the hamper program comes in. Myung wants me to distribute food hampers all year. Here's a start. We can't do that right away because I don't have place to store all that food. Yeah. But anyone can come now to the Everybody Eats Mart booth and collect a small bag of vegetables through the Love Notes Project. It's like a mini Christmas hamper. That's right. I love that there's more agency to this method. I love that anybody can collect it, no questions asked. You might get anything that's offered at the market, not just what the coupon program says. And I always get stopped when I'm explaining this. I get poo-pooed because I've said at the beginning, the idea of sugar is a bad idea, right? You don't want to eat too much sugar. But what if somebody wanted to get a cup of coffee and a sticky bun, okay? Well, who says comfort food, in moderation obviously, is a bad thing, especially during uncertain times? If I can have a sticky bun and not feel guilty about it, then why should a vulnerable person have to feel guilty about
it? That's right, totally.
I have trouble with that attitude. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the attitudes that I really think we need to stop.
Yep.
A little bit of sugar, when you're stressed, will make you feel comforted.
Christine, something that I know that you've considered too is when someone gets something like a treat, maybe that's because they want to treat someone else, and you've helped someone treat someone else in a way that is really meaningful.
Yeah, yeah. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
And as a market vendor will tell you, there's a big difference between a homemade sticky bun and a box of cereal.
Yeah.
Now, that's not all I've got planned for the booth. I'm working with farmers who will have samples of vegetables at their tables, and that same week, I'll have recipes that incorporate that vegetable. And I've done this before at other farmers' markets. I walk around the market and I ask shoppers, have you ever tried, for instance, kohlrabi? Mm-hmm. And often they say no, right? And I say, okay, there's a vendor over there that has free samples, go try it. And then they come back to me and they've got this funny look on their face, and I say, here's a recipe.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they've got this come to Jesus moment where I love this vegetable. Why did I never know about this before? And so I'm connecting people with food, real food, and I'm giving them a recipe to process it. And I'm getting them thinking about what this thing is.
Yeah.
And there's something really exciting about that. And then we're going to offer pamphlets with educational tips and offers of farm tours and farm talks, workshops, games and puzzles. The basic idea is to get 100% redemption on the market coupons, get people of all ages interacting with food, supplementing them people's eating habits with love notes if they need it, mm-hmm. and potentially with business sponsorships, and introducing more eaters to farmers and vendors. Mm-hmm. We need more people at the farmers market. That's just a no-brainer for the whole world.
Yeah.
People should not necessarily be going to a local grocery store for all their food needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to be able to come somewhere and buy local and fresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mentioned food talks and workshops. Those will, I hope, happen off-site. Here's an idea. The plan is to take the Everybody Eats booth to other events, into places like the Meadows, where seniors can share fellowship time over a hot meal. And there's where my third program will be impacted. Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
I realize this idea is extensive. A lot more than one person can manage, and serendipitously, several people have already stated they want to get involved. Smithers is a really generous town, and I believe it's an idea that's right for the picking. So I'm working with a small task force right now, and we have so many ideas that we can hardly keep up with it.
Yeah. I know that so the next thing that people can look forward to after all of this kind of behind the scenes work, unless you're involved with the SESA, you might not know about this, or you're on the task force, you might not know about this. People are going to be able to see you on the 15th. What does the rest of 2024 look like?
Sure, we are going to need to feed people, but let's do it in a way that one person isn't telling another person how to eat.
Yes.
Or what, or when.
Yep.
Right? And that's a power dynamic that I want to make it a lot more equitable. So that's a big goal for me. There shouldn't be this power dynamic. And if you're getting coupons but are feeling unsure or anxious, as I said, come to the table. I'm happy to give you a tour of the market. Let's explore ways with you around the anxiety you're feeling and to give you a safe space.
Yeah.
And then I want to advocate for problem-solving processes rather than Band-Aid solutions. So I want to be thinking from the perspective of the recipient. Are you benefiting from the program? Is there equity and diversity? Is there stigma? And are you included in that decision-making process? And so basically, are we helping or not?
Yeah.
Let's think about that all the time when we set something up. So if you, to get coupons, you need to register, as I said, through one of the distributors. So Pregnancy Outreach, the Friendship Center, or one of the Smithers Community Services Association services. I can't guarantee anything there because we got fewer coupons and because they had fewer funds. But don't despair, because anyone can also visit the table at the BB Farmers Market. Anyone, and if you don't have coupons but are feeling stretched, let's see if the Love Notes Project can help. Again, I can't guarantee anything, but we have this huge community of very generous people, mm-hmm. and I'm counting on you.
Yeah.
I'm counting on building community here.
How will people notice your booth? How will your booth stand out at the market that they can find you easily?
So I have approached Stephanie Alfred, and she has created a logo for the Everybody Eats program, and here it is. She incorporated the Gidimdan clan, even though she's Lhkxamshu, and because Smithers is on the Cassiac territory, right? So she wanted to locate us, first of all. And then the Gidimdan bear holds the salmon, because Stephanie believes that salmon holds the power of transformation to shed old patterns and beliefs that no longer serve us and to welcome the opportunity for rebirth. And then there's a farmer holding a jar, which is an offering to show respect, gratitude, and maintaining a reciprocal relationship with ancestors. And in return, the farmer is gifted fruits, vegetables, and herbs. And these are all medicine from the territory. There's also a jar of honey, which represents pleasure, sweetness, truth, and knowledge. And then there's one final truth from Stephanie that I learned when I moved to Whitsett. And I was really happy to see this underscored in our logo. Once you exchange the mindset of profit and learn to offer to the community, you are rewarded with vibrant growing seasons.
Aww.
This is so lovely. So look for Wet'suwet'en flavored logo that says Everybody Eats on it. It has things like a bear eating salmon and honey and herbs and vegetables and fruit. And it's just, what a great land acknowledgement that is. For more information, contact me at christine.bruce, B-R-U-C-E, at scsa.ca. Come to the market every Saturday starting June 15th, and let's build community together and ensure that everybody eats.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at cicknews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.
And thanks to our friends at CICK Radio in Smithers, British Columbia, for that report. Next up, this is Ghostface Killer featuring Method Man.
Get you dusted like no respect for you.
Plus, I got more Glocks and text than you.
I make it hot,
even your mama won't stand next to you.
Hey yo, who the fuck is this? Hitting me at 5:46 in the morning. Pulling on my hive, I let the killer pick corners similar to Josh Norman. I convert you dormant. I can make a movie, two killers in the sofa, ear to ear, buck 50s, how you smile like the Joker. From the lynchers and submissions, the llamas and the henchmen. Put these niggas on spin, cause the machine had to rinse them.
We'll
Boxing is for the children, Thanksgiving is for the pilgrims. My thumb's for counting ones, but this middle is for your feelings. What the blood clot of illin? Pop stars, not civilians. Sick of y'all, not to mention the shots of moxicillin. Me and Ghostface kill them all over faces. Written tell a bold-faced liar about face and drill them like they Dean can't get them. I hit them with gutter flows to keep them on their toes just for kicks. Like, what are those? And I'ma tell you this. Me and Johnny Blaze are skin you niggas like fish. It comes to murder, I insist. Operating tables quietly, they try to stitch. This about a bitch, it's about a bitch. They cut the mollies out of tits. Two-tone tassels, red wallies with the grip. 60 minutes told the press, we like the sodies of this shit. And I was dead wrong, I fucked the body off this chick. Left her bones on the bed, her head was wobbly as a
bitch. I tell a lottie-dottie like I'm Rick. We jamming in the party, Bob Marley with the split, black Bugatti with the shift. Look at Johnny, I'm blazing, got an army, not a click. Woo with laundry, sometimes say Armani, cause I'm rich, flow tsunami. I'm scheming like a Saudi with a brick, rappers envy, but claim it was a Ponzi when they slip. I get the thumbs up like Fonzie cause I'm lit. New York Islanders, we fitting to hit somebody with the stick.
Throw niggas in comas and make vegetables.
Training day.
I get you dusted like no respect for you.
Plus, I got more Glocks and text than you.
I make it hot.
Even your mama won't stand next to you.
Hey, yo, you feel me? It's more and more niggas trying to kill me. Jewelry too heavy. Diamonds too milky. The way I shoot the gift, it's like my slime is too silky. My mouth caught a body on camera, my tongue guilty.
My mouth talk dirty with grandma, my tongue filthy. My arms come with armor, my baby mama's a milfie. And drama is the karma I get for something that killed me. And still might steal on a rapper because I'm still me.
That was Pair of Hammers featuring Method Man from a new album from Ghostface Killah called Set the Tone. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and in the studio with me right now is Stephen Fan. He's been getting out and about and has been a pretty busy guy. So what are you going to tell us about today, Stephen?
Yeah, so we have three projects that I'm actually reviewing, but I'll just start with the Hafu project, which is really interesting because Hafu project is organized by a professional baritone called Luca Cavabada. He was actually most recently in the Vancouver Opera production of Carmen by Bizet. And he was playing La Danquière in that opera, and he was doing an amazing job with that, showing kind of like being a smuggler in the opera. It's really, really good. But he kind of did a project recently exploring his own identity and background. So Luca Cavabada is Canadian, but he's half Japanese and half white Canadian by ethnicity. And he's also actually partly Swedish as well. And he was always kind of, this is something that's kind of great fascination to him and obviously to us. And he kind of organized a 70-minute kind of mixed media sum project to kind of explore this identity. The project is called Hafu Project. And Hafu just means half in Japanese.
Yep.
So someone who is half Japanese and half something else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of involved him singing, which is absolutely beautiful. It involved kind of projection. It involved pictures, mixed media. In fact, he actually folded 1,000 crayons, the performances. Because in Japanese folklore, you know, once you make 1,000 crayons, you get to make a wish. So that was really cool, and it kind of explores all the identities. And so that was like a performance that took place at Russian Hall in East Vancouver on May 25th and 26th. I went to the performance on the 26th. It's just phenomenal. It was him as a baritone singing and with the projections and Perry Lowe on the piano. And I don't know when the next iteration of something like this is going to come along, but I would definitely encourage viewers to watch out for this guy because he's just an amazing artist. And I saw him in the opera. I saw him here, and just I was blown away.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so we got a couple more segments to come up.
Absolutely.
But first, we're going to hear from Bird Note. So we'll be back in 90 seconds with more Arts with Stephen.
This is Bird Note. On a June day, a broad stretch of Arctic tundra sparkles with color. The low greenery, ankle high at most, is interspersed with white stones clad in orange and black lichen. A Lapland longspur sings its gentle song. This peaceful spell is suddenly broken by another bird taking flight. It's a male American golden plover, a slender bird with a 2-foot wingspan. It's proclaiming its nesting territory with an aerial display known as the butterfly flight. After flying up 50 feet, the plover switches to slow motion. It raises its wings languidly over its body until the wingtips nearly touch, then lowers them gradually until they nearly touch, all the while calling. The plover sustains these slow and exaggerated wing beats for nearly a minute, hanging in the air like an enormous butterfly. Finally, holding its wings upright in a narrow V, it parachutes to the ground. For weeks, this scene plays out during endless Arctic summer days as golden plovers tell their neighbors, like the Lapland longspurs, just who's laid claim to this lovely expanse of tundra. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann. BirdNote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at BirdNote Radio.
Thanks. I always enjoy BirdNote. Steven's back here with a second show you've been to.
Yes. So the second show I've been to is the one by the Vancouver-born sort of superstar Vicky Chow. So Vicky Chow comes from Vancouver. She's a professional pianist, but she's not a conventional kind of professional pianist. So many of us, she kind of started out with classical music, playing classical piano. But at some point, she realized her identity is actually playing really interesting kind of modernist works. And so this particular performance that she was holding in Vancouver was actually a performance of Philip Glass, the famous modernist composer. And not only is it a performance of Philip Glass, it's actually a continuation of her original performance of Philip Glass's Book One in March of 2023. And so this is kind of it caps off that performance. It does the book too, and it's just a beautiful venue. It was at the Christchurch Cathedral. It was on May 28th. Sorry, I'm not mentioning. So it was kind of just an amazing deal. So I think she did an amazing job, and I actually was able to speak with her by Zoom, just kind of talk over her career and have her approach to music. But I think the best way to do it, honestly, is to just share a clip of her playing. And here we go.
Okay.
Hold on, let me... Doesn't seem to be working. Okay.
It's not working for you?
No, I don't think it's happening.
All right. Well, we can get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
So tell me more about this show.
Yeah, so... Sorry. So the thing with the show is that the Philip Glass is kind of this foundational composer in modernist music. It kind of... The path of modernist music in the 20th century, and I kind of spoke with Vicky about this in the Zoom interview, was that it started out with Arnold Schoenberg in the 1920s exploring the chromatic possibilities of a 12-tone scale, because he felt like with kind of Rachmaninoff, with kind of Mahler, they had exhausted the musical possibilities, expressive possibilities of classical tonal music. And Philip Glass, in many ways, is kind of the ultimate manifestation of that. It kind of explores not just the tone that's possible with the piano, but also kind of just percussive possibilities. I remember talking with Vicky about, you know, her favorite composers. I was like, well, what's her favorite classical composer? And she was like, well, Béla Bartók. Mm-hmm. And I remember playing Béla Bartók as a youth and enjoying just how percussive it is, right? Because people forget that the piano is a hugely percussive instrument. It's not just a tonal instrument. It has incredible percussive possibilities. And I think in here, like, I just the general vibe I got is that she really kind of showed that to the max, right? Like, I think most people you know, when you kind of, like, this is kind of a really interesting thing about studying piano as an instrument, is that when you start out on the classical path, and even when you start out as a jazz pianist, it's the chief kind of emphases are melodic and tonal. You kind of talk about the melody, the possibility of the leitmotif and stuff like that. But the overall kind of artistic effect of the piano as a percussive instrument to create all sorts of sounds, not just melodies, I think that's usually downplayed or outright ignored. And I think one thing that makes me really, really glad about Vicky Chow being here and playing this these sets of music is that she really kind of makes